Good after what day is it? Saturday.
It's afternoon.
Good Saturday,
on Saturday
afternoon, Nevada Shooters. Welcome back, Armed Nevada Radio on KNews 107.3 FM. Back to the station and plug. Ben,
how are you, brother? Are you off today or what?
I'm having a good day today.
Are you?
Let me tell you. Today, first day in probably since January that I am pain free.
Well, I was going to say, I talked to you, what was that, last night or the night before?
Oh,
and
my
you
God.
Were.
Yeah. Miserable.
But you're good now?
I'm good. Today, I'm crossing my fingers, hedging my bets. Today's the first day I've been pain free. I had a bunch of trigger point injections. I've never been through them. I don't recommend it. They're not fun. But that, a little bit of physical therapy, and I'll tell you what, today's the first day. So I'm a much happier camper because I'll tell you what, you ask my wife, I've been miserable.
So now you're happy, huh?
I am happy. And I got, you know what else I'm happy about? This building, right? Shamrock Communications,
right here
on Plum Lane.
Yeah.
The restroom down the hall, one of the finest smelling bathrooms I have ever been in.
Oh,
have
yeah.
you been in there?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a citrus grove. It's like getting lost in just an overwhelming aroma of citrus.
Well, I'd say it's cleaner than my bathroom at home, even.
It's much cleaner than me. You see my kids' bathrooms? I don't know if you saw what I posted this week, but it's that moment when you realize that, you know, your kids are all either straight A or academically gifted, but not one damn one of them knows how to replace a roll of toilet paper. Yeah, and don't get me started about the teenage sanitary napkins that can't seem to find their way to the garbage can and get left on the floor for me to lose my mind over. Oh, my God. One other
something more fun. Uh-huh. So I bought a new to me used car a couple of days ago.
Congratulations!
And I'm going to tie this to guns here. So one of my other loves is fast cars.
Uh-huh.
And it's been in remission for the last year since I got rid of my Mustang. So I picked up a Cadillac CTS-V.
Nice.
400 horsepower, four-door sedan.
You pretentious SOB.
Right? Well, here's the problem. There's nowhere to stash a gun in this damn car.
Are you serious?
Yes. So, like, yesterday, I'm going somewhere. I had to go pick up my daughter from school, so I'm like, I'm going to park the car on the side of the road. I got to dump the gun while I go pick her up, walk up onto campus. There is not... Besides under the front seat, the center console, there like basically isn't one.
There's just no room or there's no console?
Well, so the console is this little plastic, you know, leather-wrapped thing, but doesn't even cover the opening in the console. So, like, you could see into the center console because there's a gap.
Have you tried just, like, sliding the gun in the holster in between the console and the seat?
Yeah, there's not enough room.
It's like
the buckets are huge. So, and then the glove box is just enough room for a registration and an owner's manual. So, crap, I got nowhere to stash a gun in this car.
But it is a Cadillac.
It is, and it's awesome. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'll have to look at it when I got here in the parking lot.
I'm sure.
I'm going to wait for you to buy me a burrito today.
I'm sure our Nevada Highway Patrol listenership is already...
They've already got you on the no-drive list for Northern Nevada highways. That's for sure.
Well, let's just say I got from here to Wingfield in like 20 minutes.
Allegedly. You know, I came in the station a little early this morning, and the TV set out in the lobby. They've got the Kelly and Michael show on, right? Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't watch that show. I don't watch what's that other all women liberal show?
The View, I think.
Yeah, I don't watch any of that stuff. But it's on, so I'm watching. And they're talking about this movie called Hitman, Agent 47, that's coming out. It looks like a pretty cool movie.
I've seen the trailer for it. Yeah.
The main actor, a guy by the name of Rupert Friend.
Okay.
And he's telling Kelly and Mike. Actually, it's some stand-in for Kelly. It wasn't Kelly. He's telling him how hard it was on the set because when he got shot, he accidentally got shot on set.
What?
And, yeah, the last time he was on the show, they thought that he had a hickey on his neck because that's where he got shot. And I'm like, he said that one of the actors during a scene had a rifle up and discharged the rifle next to his head, and he got burned by the blank ammunition.
Oh, all right.
Wait a second. And whoever the female co-host is says, you know, people don't realize how hard it is for actors. I'm like, shut up.
Are you kidding me?
Are you serious? Try getting shot at for real, jackass.
Oh.
What? You got burned by a blank and you're trying to tell us how difficult it is to be an actor?
These are the same people that get all bent out of shape about Blue Lives Matter attacking cops, but yet they're crying because...
I'm in the lobby losing my mind over this.
Oh.
Like, It's like one day. I want to have one day where I don't lose my mind over something.
It's impossible. You know,
I don't know.
Do you feel like this is how I felt the last, I would say, when did we start the show? May?
Yeah. We're what, week six now? Something like that? We've done it?
Week six? We're like on, I don't know, we're like, oh, it's been like 12 weeks.
Has it? We've done 12 shows.
But
time flies.
Since I've been gathering news, and I've always paid attention to gun news because I've always shared it on my Facebook page.
Right.
And,
well, even more so now.
Holy crap. I feel like the pace of news, and maybe it's because of the election cycle, it is like, you know, like yesterday, I spent a ton of time editing photos, you know, because last week we talked about I did that funeral and I had 1,000 photos to go through. So 4 or 5 hours, I edited photos and then I come in today and you're like, did you see this article? Did you see that article? I didn't see those articles. It's nuts.
And there's a lot of stuff that's happened. Some of the stuff we're going to talk about today, we'll try to hit on all of it. I know we've got a lot to talk about and only a little bit of time to do it. We posted on our Facebook page, there was actually a great article outlining where the Republican – well, where all the candidates, not just Republicans, but where the current presidential hopefuls stand on gun control. So I put that up on the Armed Nevada Radio Facebook page. I think that's extremely important information. No, we're going to kind of highlight –
I have two Republican candidates that absolutely boil my blood about gun rights.
Well, cool. Make sure we talk about that. We want to talk about those guys. I want to try to hit a little bit on the Oath Keepers in Ferguson. And the media is just vilifying these guys.
Right.
And you could not make up stuff like the Washington Post in particular, and British television too, Channel 4 News and the BBC.
And you know what? Add something to the bottom of that on your agenda there for today. And add it to the Ferguson, because the press is coming all unglued about these guys that are you know, I saw one article that called them terrorists. I saw another one that called you know, the Black Panthers showed up at a jail in Texas yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I saw
armed
that.
To the teeth.
Yep.
And they weren't called terrorists.
No, they weren't. And the flip side of that coin is, if they are not prohibited possessors, why shouldn't they be allowed to? Listen, as much as I can't stand the Black Panthers because I think they're a murderous criminal organization.
Right.
But if these particular individuals, I mean, listen, if the Oath Keepers can do it, as much as it pains me to say it,
right?
Why can't the Black Panthers do
it? So the Black Panthers showed up to a sheriff's office in a predominantly white neighborhood.
Nobody called
them
terrorists.
And nobody calls them a terrorist, but white Oath Keepers show up in Ferguson
and
to protect businesses.
Vehemently anti-government, or what was the word? Viciously anti-government? Heatedly anti-government was the phrase.
An extreme right-wing group.
Washoe County School District just paid out a $100,000 settlement to the wife of Michael Lansbury.
I saw that.
After the Sparks Middle School shooting. We'll talk a little bit about that. There's a point I want to make about that.
Actually, add something on your agenda, too.
Sure.
Regarding my comment on a local news organization's Facebook page.
Really? Okay. Ben's comment.
It's actually pretty good.
Okay. Los Angeles. Los Angeles. Mayor Garcetti just signed a bill ordering the effective September, the end of September, the immediate confiscation of all magazines capable of carrying more than 10 rounds.
Did they fix the...
Nobody gets grandfathered. Nobody.
What about retired law enforcement? Because that was a big...
Nobody. Everybody is subject to this. The only exceptions are current law enforcement officers. There was one collectible firearm exception, but everybody is being told to turn in their firearms. There are 30-round... any magazine over 10 rounds.
How many large capacity magazines are being buried in Los Angeles right now?
No, nobody's got to turn those in. You kidding me? That's you'll get 10 people in the city of LA because they're sheep and they'll do what government tells them. And the rest are going to say a big F you to.
Or they'll wait until there's a buyback and then they'll get their Ralph's shopping card for it.
We've got that. Seattle has just passed a mandatory gun violence tax on firearms and ammunition sales.
Oh.
That's a biggie.
Who's working the board, will you please pass the duct tape for me?
Slowly whittling away the rights. This is how they're going to do it. They're making it more and more difficult for law-abiding individuals to purchase firearms and ammunition. That's how they're going to try and
They're putting gun businesses out of business Seattle.
Well, another one we want to talk about, too. Apparently, and you might know more about this than I do if you have it up, but we'll pull the news story up. A gentleman in – what state was it? just won an open carry case against Michigan. Just won a case against the school district and the state, allowing him to open carry firearms on school property. And we're going to talk about how that's an important one. I want to make sure we hit that because that's we want to tie that directly into how it affects us here locally.
Wait, what about Obama's assistant that discharged a weapon at a Capitol police officer?
Oh, I saw that.
We add that to the agenda. Right, well, we may not make it there, but gosh, that's a great news article.
So we've got a lot to talk about. We're up against a break. We're going to be back and get right into this hot and heavy. You're listening to Ben and Gary on KNews 107.3 Arm Nevada Radio. All right, we're back. We want to talk a little bit about where the candidates stand on gun control. You know, we're coming up on election year, Ben.
I know, and it's crazy already.
It's a big issue. There's an article that we posted on our Facebook page.
Businessinsider.com, wasn't it?
Let me check. Yes, businessinsider.com, 2016 candidates gun control stand is the is where you want to go for that. But it's on the top of our page. I think it's the last thing we put up. Let's hit these in order, right, no particular order.
Can we just skip the Democratic candidates? Don't we already know that they're all anti-gun?
Well, we do, but they, you know, they try to spin it a little bit to make it sound like they're not so anti-gun, and they talk about common sense reforms.
Right.
So let's talk about Hillary, and we were talking about this during the break. Hillary's going to be lucky if she can own a gun here in the next year or so, because I think she better get used to prison food and an orange jumpsuit, but at least it'll be a pantsuit she's used to wearing.
Let's hope so. But as far as her track record on gun control, mm-hmm. you know, they've got a quote here that she's going to fight for common sense gun reforms, which is usually a veiled threat to fight for gun control.
Exactly.
She supports universal background checks, obviously.
Well, we already have those.
And she, listen to this quote in this article, quote, "I know that gun ownership is a part of the fabric of a lot of law-abiding communities. I also know that we can have common sense gun reforms that will keep the weapons out of the hands of criminals and violently unstable while respecting responsible gun owners."
Well, you know who they're lumping into that violently unstable descriptor?
Veterans.
Yep. PTSD.
Well, there was that
automatically violently
unstable. There was that incident last week where the local sheriff had to blockade a veteran's house to keep the
VA, I saw that. Did you see the photograph of that?
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
What I don't understand about that was the VA police vehicle that was in this guy's front yard. And I'll tell you this. I know this. VA police have no jurisdiction
off of VA
property.
Yeah, so interesting, right?
I know a guy that's a cop here with the VA. Great police officer. I know a couple of them. They're awesome guys. But they're frustrated because they see stuff go on outside the VA and they can't take any action.
I know a former VA cop, and he says it's the most dysfunctional department he's ever been associated with.
Right. Yeah, they're improving.
Well, then there's Bernie Sanders.
Well, let's skip down to Bernie here because we're going to scroll past this guy, O'Malley. I've never even heard of him. Where have I been? Let's go to Bernie Sanders. What's Bernie say?
Well, so Bernie technically, I guess, is an independent, but he's running as a Democratic presidential candidate. Very moderate when he comes to gun control, according to his campaign manager, but I don't believe it. But he did vote against the Brady Bill, which that's interesting. Voted for the ban on assault weapons, voted to allow firearms on Amtrak trains, and voted for universal background checks.
Okay.
So this guy's all over the map.
So far it sounds pretty good, but...
Well, from a Democratic standpoint, I suppose.
Right. But he is a socialist.
Yes. O'Malley, so he's a former Maryland governor. He's running on the Democratic side. He's called for a ban on assault weapons, stricter background checks to prevent straw purchases, and a fingerprinting requirement. So I'm going to say no on him.
Yeah.
And he proudly holds an F rating from the NRA, which is pretty bad. Lincoln Chaffee, I've never heard of this guy.
Lincoln Chaffee.
He wants to ban semi-automatic assault weapons, high-capacity magazines. He voted against federal legislation that would have banned lawsuits against gun makers.
Oh, that's a big one right there.
Yeah, he's no friend of ours.
Yeah.
How about on the Republican side? Can I just get out of the way?
Let's.
Donald Trump.
Okay.
I don't want to get into the weeds with him too much, but this guy now is trying to masquerade as a friend of gun owners, but in the past he has been no friend of gun owners. He supported the assault weapons ban in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He has supported high-capacity magazine bans. But now that he's running for president, I guess, as a Republican. He's now trying to...
Well, I want to give Donald a little bit of... I want to give him a little bit of leeway here. I'm going to give him a break. And
so he's a born-again gun rights supporter?
Have you ever flipped on a position? Have you held position A, and then several years later, after you've had a chance to swish it around and weigh all the issues, have you ever said, you know what, maybe I was wrong on that. Maybe it's...
Yeah, but I'm not running for president, though.
No.
And...
I'm not getting too hung up on his flip on that. I'm really not at this point. I mean, it remains to be seen. We'll see what he does as president. But I can't imagine that Donald, as narcissistic as he is, would make the statements and take the stands that he's taking, and then once he's in the White House, turn around and throw his integrity in the toilet. I just don't see that happening. I mean, that's just human nature. I don't see him doing that.
The other head-exploding candidate for me, since there's so many on the Republican side, is Chris Christie.
Let me get down to Christie here. What's Christie saying?
Oh, Christie is in my opinion, so he presides over the biggest liberal stronghold in this country besides California. He is the governor of New Jersey, where all forms of concealed carry, unless you're law enforcement, are basically non-existent.
Oh, yeah. We all know how his state is on guns.
And suddenly now he's pardoning people that have been arrested for concealed carry violations. I just think he's suddenly becoming a gun rights supporter now that he's running for president.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Because New Jersey, they can't even have hollow points there. At least in California you can have hollow points.
And well, at least I wasn't aware of that, really.
Oh, yeah. So they, what is it, that guard dog ammunition from Federal, I think it is, mm-hmm. where it's got the flat nose that's supposed to expand because it's got polymer under the copper.
Right.
That's for New Jersey because they can't have true hollow points. And so Chris Christie has a C rating from the NRA.
I think Christie's kissing up to the gun industry now.
He boils really my is. Blood because he's been no friend of ours until just recently.
Where's Ben Carson? I personally like Ben Carson.
He's a flip-flopper because he was the one that said that nobody in urban areas should own semi-automatic weapons.
Now?
Oh, I'm fully supporting gun rights now. Okay. You know, so that's another, is he born-againer when it comes to gun rights?
Is he telling people what he thinks they want to hear? I don't know.
You know what? Scott Walker.
Yeah.
Full supporter of gun rights. Demonstrated reformer of gun laws. You know, Wisconsin had some fairly restrictive gun laws
right
up until a few years ago. He brought concealed carry to Wisconsin. He eliminated waiting periods. I mean, he walks the walk. He's talked the talk.
But we'll say, I like that about him. How about Carly Fiorina?
I don't know much about her when it comes to gun rights. What does the article say?
The former CEO of Hewlett-Packard has said she is a supporter of the Second Amendment and accused Obama of pushing a political agenda after his comments in the wake of the Charleston shooting. That's actually all it says about her. We don't know much then. Well, I've watched her on Fox. I watched her with an interview with Katie Couric, who, you know, can be pretty acerbic when it comes to her liberal progressive stand in an interview. And Carly Fiorina held her own on the gun issue, and she actually shut Katie Couric down at one point. Katie was kind of speechless. Carly Fiorina is definitely a supporter of your Second Amendment rights across the board.
I think she's a dark horse in this race.
I think she's somebody to be watched.
She's articulate, and when I watched her in that previous debate, she held her own.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz, so I guess he's the – if you – were to take Trump out of the race, you'd say Ted Cruz is probably the next strongest candidate. He gets an A-plus rating from the NRA, and he just put out a YouTube campaign advertisement where he cooks bacon on the end of his AR-15
barrel. I saw that, yeah. Wrap bacon around the barrel.
So, you know what? He's got an A-plus rating. I think he's a friend of ours. He's been a constitutional attorney. He says he supports the Second Amendment.
Well, you know, here's somebody. We've got to talk about Rand Paul because I think Rand Paul is definitely. Well, he and Trump are just each other's throats right now.
Well,
have you seen some of the exchanges?
I like Rand Paul. I just don't think he's electable. I like his what would we call it, libertarian roots,
right?
But you know, he's been snubbed by the NRA.
Well, he has an A rating according to the article.
Well, he wasn't invited to the NRA convention in May, and that really. I know that
Ben Carson was.
Right. He says he wasn't invited because he's too pro-guns, that he basically opposes the NRA. Well, because like the NRA was supporting that law to expand the mental health reporting for background checks. And see, Rand Paul opposes that, saying it's just more government intervention into gun rights. So he is opposed to even the NRA. When the NRA says something is common sense, Rand Paul is opposed to it.
Hmm.
So from a purely libertarian standpoint, I think Rand Paul might be one of the stronger candidates.
On gun issues?
Yeah, just because he's like, government stay out of all parts of it.
Well, he's definitely an isolationist, too.
You know, he's softened his stance on that a little bit. I know that bends you, that kind of pushes you a little bit.
No, you know, I'm going to surprise you and tell you that I'm actually starting to kind of lean that way. I mean, it's another show for another time when we talk about military intervention across the world. You know, it's a necessity, but I don't know if it's a necessity to the extent where we need to get overextended on three or four different fronts. You know, Hitler did the same thing in World War II, and that didn't work out real well for him.
Well, so on gun rights, who's your choice? Who's your pick?
On gun rights right now, I'm going to have to say Rand for right now.
Yeah.
But listen. If
Rand
you,
or Ted?
Rand or Ted. We couldn't get to all the candidates. Visit the Facebook page, Armed Nevada Radio, and you can check out the article and hit all of them up for yourself. We're going to be right back after the break. KNews 107.3, Armed Nevada Radio with Gary and Ben. And we're back. Ben
we
and Gary.
Back.
Let's talk about Oath Keepers a little bit. You know, this is an organization that I support.
Well, so explain to our audience who may not know who the Oath Keepers are
in a nutshell. Oath Keepers are an organization of individuals with prior military and or law enforcement experience who at one point in their lives raised their right hand, swore to protect, took an oath to protect our nation, defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And these are guys that take their oath very seriously, as all of us that have served do. That oath has no expiration. And okay. So these are highly honorable individuals
yep.
that have taken it upon themselves to insert themselves into rather chaotic situations. And we're going to talk specifically in this case about Ferguson.
And as I recall their history, they were kind of born out of the Katrina catastrophe.
Yes.
Because Katrina was fraught. That whole recovery effort was fraught with, I believe, unconstitutional commands that were given by either the federal government or local officials to disarm the populace, to go house to house, to
Which
search
happened.
People's homes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's YouTube videos of California Highway Patrolmen tackling old ladies to take their guns away
in New Orleans,
right.
of all places.
So that's kind of, I think, that's what gave birth to or the rise to this organization.
Right. So we've got Oath Keepers in Ferguson. There were four of them. I mean, it wasn't a gaggle. There was just four of these guys.
And they were there before, what was that, right after the...
They were there in November last year when Ferguson first went up in flames
right.
following the whole Michael Brown failure to indict Darren Wilson.
And the businesses that they stood watch over, they protected, and those did not get looted or burned.
They did not get looted or burned. And the black community, the black business owners, were extremely grateful for their presence. Because the police, St. Louis County and Missouri Highway Patrol troopers stood down and allowed these people to burn and loot these businesses.
They were given room to express themselves.
Yeah, well, screw that. So we have Oath Keepers now in Ferguson, and this time, depending on who you talk to, you're going to get a different story.
Okay, so there's a video on Facebook. Did we share that on our...
We did. That's on our Facebook page also. You can check
there's a
video
of these four individuals. They're wearing plate carriers, body armor.
They're right. They're not all camied out. They're wearing plate carriers, which is common sense.
Yeah.
They are wearing their body armor. They have sidearms and AR-15s, which are legal to open carry.
In the state of Missouri.
In the state of Missouri. So they're not breaking any laws. Now, they were there, depending on who you talk to, the Oath Keepers were there to provide personal security detail for a couple of InfoWars reporters.
Right.
Now, I'm no fan of InfoWars by
right.
any stretch, but... Their life, you know, InfoWars matters, lives matter also. So they were there to provide personal security detail for these reporters.
So now, they were invited.
They were, well.
Or they were there on assignment.
Right. According to Oath Keepers, they were tasked by InfoWars to provide personal security. Now, according to InfoWars, they're saying no, but we're grateful for their presence.
Oh.
So I think it's InfoWars trying to cover their butts a little bit.
Yeah.
But here they were in the middle of Ferguson, in the middle of this war zone for all intents and purposes, and they were engaging with protesters peacefully, I might add, and civilly. I think there was a curiosity issue on the part of many of the protesters. Some good points were raised by the protesters, though, which I can – I think you would also immediately refute, where they were talking about, well, how come you as a white male have the sovereign right to walk out here with an AR-15 and you're untouched? Nobody bothers you. But if I were to do the same thing, we're out here for a peaceful demonstration and we're getting maced and pepper sprayed and beaten upon. Well, first of all, you're not demonstrating peacefully, which is why you're getting pepper sprayed and thumped.
Well, and then when they're firing at cops.
When they're firing at cops, exactly.
Yeah, and when you're stopping traffic on the freeway.
Right. Now, you brought up a point before we started the show that the flip side of this coin is, and tell us about the Black Panthers.
Well, so the flip side is, so MSNBC and a couple of the other very liberal news outlets were accusing these Oath Keepers of being terrorists, showing up in a black neighborhood, being white guys with firearms. Well, then yesterday, Black Panthers showed up to a sheriff's office in Texas to protest the Sandra, and I'm drawing a blank on her last
name.
Bland, thank you. And so they showed up armed to demonstrate at the sheriff's office. Well, no, but it didn't turn violent. A lot of law enforcement showed up, of course. But as far as I was able to read and watch the videos, it was a, for the most part, peaceful protest. And how are the press wasn't calling them terrorists, but
no.
It's the same thing.
No, and the Black Panthers are pretty open about how they are a terrorist organization.
As far as I'm concerned,
right.
They are.
But you're a good point. Nobody was calling them terrorists. Nobody was calling them. What did they say the Oath Keepers were? Heatedly anti-government. They called them a militia.
An extreme right-wing group.
Extreme right-wing group, yeah.
Well, so why isn't the same level of vitriol being hurled at the Black Panthers for essentially doing the same thing?
Because I think that there's a reluctance and a fear to say anything and that it's even remotely anti-black or anti-African-American.
And here's the frustrating thing. All the articles we've seen is that minorities are one of the biggest growing groups of firearm owners and concealed carry permit holders.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is one group of people, firearm owners, that are tolerant and accepting, It's us.
It is.
And
well, good point. The Black Panthers, do they have a right, as long as they are not prohibited possessors, do they have a right, the same right, to show up and demonstrate armed or to show up and to make a point? How can you say no? And look, I'm no fan of the Black Panthers. Trust me.
If they're
calling for the open murder of white
right.
people.
If they're not breaking any laws in Texas, the open carry of rifles is lawful. I don't know.
I hate to say it, but yeah. Man, I mean, the rights apply to them, too.
It swings both ways.
Yep, it does swing both ways. Washoe County School District.
Yeah, they reached a settlement with Michael Lansbury's family.
Right.
His estate for $100,000.
Paid $100,000.
Which I think is chump change considering what he did,
or the sacrifice that he made.
Correct.
This was kind of a heated debate on Facebook on whether they should have paid anything or not. And
especially
I maintain,
especially when you consider how much we have paid that criminal Pedro Martinez.
Oh my God!
And I know
yeah.
I'm getting into the weeds a little
bit.
Oh,
and he got twice what Lansbury's wife got.
That guy was incompetent and ill prepared for his job, and he gets three times as much.
Yeah.
Whereas this teacher bravely steps in front of an armed child, takes bullets for his kids or the kids that are on the playground or in the building at the time, and he gets $100,000. That's a slap in the face.
I'm going to say this. This is a position I'm taking. Washoe County School District is absolutely liable for his death, and I'll tell you why. They have naively continued to cling to this delusional stance that somehow making the school a gun-free zone is going to prevent people from bringing guns on campus.
Absolutely. Well, and that's what I'm sure some people are going, well, what does this have to do with guns besides it being a gun crime? It has to do with guns because the Washoe County School District and the Washoe County School District Police Department continues to block efforts by citizens who would like to carry concealed on school grounds. I have made two official requests to the administrators at both Shaw Middle School and Spanish Springs High School and have been told no. And then I've asked the police department if they would authorize that request, and they've said no as well.
I made the same request 2 years ago at my daughter's elementary school, and the principal actually said, yeah, come on.
Until the police department gets involved.
until she said, you know what, maybe I should talk to the district.
Yep.
And guess who shot her down? Pedro Martinez and Chief Mike Maris.
So as far as I'm concerned, as long as they will not entertain any case by case, or as long as they will not open it up to anybody with a concealed carry permit, they are absolutely financially liable. And you know what? I think we should take this one step further. And I think any trustee and any administrator at a school where something like this happens should be held personally financially liable for it.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're going to disarm me and then I get injured or killed defending my child or the children around my child, then absolutely any settlement that's reached should come out of their pocket personally.
Well, and here's another issue, too. NRS 202.3673 specifically prohibits the lawful carry of concealed firearms on any system of higher education. Doesn't say anything about open carrying.
Oh, could you imagine if we open carried onto a Washoe County school district?
According to the law. Listen, if it's not specifically enumerated, it's not against the law. And that's going to bring us to our next sub. We're going to talk about that on our next segment here. We're going to be right back after the break. Ben and Gary, KNews 107.3, Armed Nevada Radio. Okay, we're back. We were talking about the Washoe County School District settlement.
Do you want to be the test case for that? Do you want
to? You know what? What are they going to do? Tell me no? They're going to ask me to leave.
They're going to arrest you.
For what?
Well,
what are you going to arrest me for? The federal school safe zone, gun-free safe zone act, whatever the hell that's called?
Well, no, they can't charge you with that because you have a concealed carry permit.
Right. Well, they can't enforce federal law anyway.
Well, but even if they tried, we're exempted from that law because we have a valid concealed carry permit.
Okay, so if Nevada Revised Statute 202.3673 says you cannot carry a concealed firearm and does not say you cannot openly carry a concealed firearm, then what is to prohibit me from carrying an open firearm on school grounds?
You know what? If the Washoe County School District Police Department, police chief, is it interim still or do they have a permanent
Interim, guess what? On that note, get off the topic here a little bit. They quietly and surreptitiously opened up bidding for the chief's position and only opened it for 10 days, which extremely limits the possibility of an outside individual from coming in anywhere else.
So we're going to get more of the same.
So, more of the same.
Here's what I'm going to say. If there's anybody in a leadership position that is authorized to talk publicly, we would love to have you on the show because I would love to pick your brain and find out what your reasoning is or what the department's reasoning is for continually saying no to our requests.
You know what? Let's do this. Let's go one further. Let's reach out to the interim chief of the Washoe County School District. Please see if he'll come on.
Let's
and talk about this because I'll bring the NRS right here.
All right.
It's specific. It says you cannot carry concealed. And in Nevada, if it isn't specifically written down, it's not against the law. What is it? What's going to prevent me from open carrying on a school ground?
I highly doubt that anybody from the department's going to agree to come on the show, but
reach out to them. We'll make that call. We'll make that call today after the show.
Let's see
if we can get them to do it. Los Angeles, California.
Oh, my
Mayor
gosh.
Garcetti, God bless him, you turd. Mayor Garcetti just signed a bill. It's going to be effective, I believe, the end of September.
Yeah.
Ordering the mandatory confiscation of all magazines capable of holding more than 10 rounds. And the downside to this, as if there could be another downside, nobody is exempt. Nobody
except
is grandfathered.
Except active law enforcement.
Except active law enforcement. Nobody is grandfathered in. As they were before. They're calling this virtually unchallengeable in court.
Because they claim that they have researched all of the court decisions from the Ninth Circuit, and they have come up with something that they don't believe the Ninth Circuit will pick up because all of the issues have already been decided.
So do you think the Rolling 60s Crips are going to be lining up like teenage girls at a One Direction concert?
No, but
to turn in their AK-47 mags.
I wonder though, in the Home Depots and Ace Hardwares of Los Angeles proper, how many shovels are being sold right now that are going to be used to bury those magazines?
Yeah, you know these. Well, first of all, look, I don't think more than a handful of people are going to comply with this law.
Well, I don't think so.
They will because they're sheep and they'll do what their government tells them because it's spineless.
But you know what? If you look at New York, Connecticut, anywhere else that's passed confiscatory or registration type of laws, they just aren't.
Well, look
massive
at
civil disobedience.
After the Sandy Hook shooting in Connecticut, what did they ordered the mandatory registration of all, air quotes, assault rifles.
And they said they were going to go door-to-door confiscating those that weren't registered.
How many people showed up?
Handful.
30?
Well, but then
50?
Guess what? When they pulled up the list of people they knew owned these weapons that hadn't registered them,
mm-hmm.
they said that a vast majority of them were cops.
Yeah.
So they abandoned their plans to confiscate.
Oh, my God.
That's what's going to happen in L.A.
I jumped ahead on the L.A. thing. We were talking about the Washington County School District settlement. There is a case, if you've got it on your pad there,
I've got it
in front of you in paper. A gentleman just won an open carry case in, where, Michigan?
Yeah.
Against the school district?
So a gun-free zone challenge in Michigan has ended with the judge ruling in favor of the father who wanted to open carry at his daughter's school. Kenneth Herman sued the school district in Clio when he was not permitted to go into the building to pick up his daughter on multiple occasions. Now, the difference between Michigan is that Michigan law permits individuals with a concealed carry permit to be present on school property. The state statute reportedly played a significant role in Judge Heyman's decision to side with the open carry dad. So a little bit different than Nevada, just because we don't even have the ability to go on school grounds
mm-hmm.
with firearms. But it looks like in Michigan you can go onto school grounds, you just cannot carry into the buildings.
So his issue was going into the building or going
on
the grounds?
Going into the building.
Well, we don't have anything like that here.
No.
About it. It just says any system of higher education or any public building located on the system of any.
And then according
education.
To this, Michigan law permits individuals with a concealed carry permit right. to be present on school property. So, I don't know. It's an interesting case. I don't know how much bearing it would have on helping us here in this state, but.
Yeah, because it is a little dissimilar, but it's a huge case for Michigan.
But how about this? Open carry in schools.
People would go nuts.
You and I both have friends where their heads would explode at the mere sight of
there. I can tell you right now, the secretary at my daughter's school, I actually did a training class for several teachers following Sandy Hook,
yeah.
and she told me she was vehemently anti-gun. She told me if there is gun one on those school grounds, she will quit on that day. Won't even give 2 weeks' notice. She will not work anywhere where a gun is allowed.
Well, did I tell you the story about...
Yeah, bye-bye.
Did I tell you the story? So I belong to this photography co-op, I guess mm-hmm. a co-op, or where we all pay into this studio and we get to shoot there. And a guy quit the studio because I had guns in the studio.
Wow.
And he works for the Washoe County School District.
Boo-hoo. I didn't know that part.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if campus carry ever becomes legal in the state of Nevada, how many Washoe County... teachers' aides, and administrators would quit.
I don't think many. I think they're more. Their self-preservation for their job will kick in, and I really don't think that they'll. It's a lot of big talk. This secretary, I think she would quit.
Did the Washoe County School District become such a refuge for liberalism in this county?
I don't know, but you know, there's a reason that Nevada is dead last in education in the country. We are dead last.
Clark County.
Is it because of Clark County?
I think so.
Well, they just approved Common Core math for high schools now?
From a gun rights standpoint? How about let's piss off one of our potentially biggest markets for growing our show? But, like, Clark County, you guys need to stop electing liberal assemblymen and state senators.
Yeah, good Lord.
For the love of God, please. You know, like, I had an argument with a lady on a Las Vegas Sun, you know, Facebook post about gun rights. And she's like, well, here in Nevada, we're absolutely supportive of gun rights. And I'm like, wake up. You guys keep sending these people to Carson City that keep wanting to either take away rights or not give them to us. You guys are one of the biggest problems as to why we're not a full-fledged gun rights state.
Yep. Well, this Nevada right now is a battleground for gun rights. In this country,
because we keep bringing people in from California, mm-hmm. and they want to keep remaking the state into California light.
Well, let's talk about a little light note here for a second. An Obama staffer.
Yeah.
Rick, do you have that article up?
I do have this article.
She have a negligent discharge? She actually torched a round off in anger?
She torched a round off in anger. So she's a special legislative assistant. To President Obama. So she's in Virginia. She's dating a Capitol police officer. And apparently he comes over. They engage in intercourse. Afterward, they get mad at each other. She goes to his car, grabs his service weapon, and discharges it at him.
Wow. I'd love to be a fly on the wall when that happens.
So, and she's been put on administrative leave.
Oh, brother. Of course. Obama administration's not going to fire anybody. You kidding me?
The White House has little to say about Singletary's attempt to disarm and then murder her boyfriend with his service weapon.
An attempted homicide.
Yeah.
And she's on administrative leave. Was she booked? Did she go to jail?
Let's see. She's been charged with domestic violence.
She wasn't charged with attempted homicide?
It doesn't look like it. Not yet, anyways.
What?
Yeah. So right now, just domestic violence. So, Wow. Awesome. You think you and I, if we discharged a weapon at our spouses, that we'd only be charged with domestic violence?
Hell no. You kidding me? Uh-uh. No, they'd throw the book at us.
Always a double standard there for our pals in Washington.
I'm telling you. Yeah, let's, I saw that happen. I didn't know if it was a negligent discharge or deliberate. Now I understand that, yeah, she torched around off in anger at her boyfriend apparently following an unsatisfactory sexual experience.
Well, so
clearly the right option for her in that case.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say.
Well, sure you do.
No, I don't.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's how she handles it. I mean, usually, you know, my wife and I will talk things out. She's never dropped a hammer on me.
Why is it that people that want gun control or are not supportive of our rights to own guns are always the ones quickest to incite violence or to go to violence? Why does it seem like that?
I don't know. You know, maybe that's a good topic for the Facebook page. If you ever had an unsatisfactory sexual experience, if you wanted to torch the round off at your lover, at your significant other following coitus. I like that word.
But in the article, it never says it was unsatisfactory, so maybe...
Well, I'm making that assumption, and I think I'm pretty on the ball. I think I'm on point making that assumption. Clearly, she was pissed off about something, and I can't imagine, I don't know, did he not hold her long enough? Or was there not any mutual cuddling?
Man.
Did he tell her, look, I got to go to work, babe. You got to get the hell out of here? I mean, what happened? I want to know what happened. We need to know. Follow a FOIA report, would you? Get a Freedom of Information Act going. Oh. I want to find out what happened in that bedroom. Get TMZ on this.
Let's file it. Let's find out what happened.
TMZ will find out. All right, we're gonna end the show on that note. On
Saturday, the show over
sex.
Already.
It is. It went by too quick. It went by quick. Shooters, listen. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay armed. Watch your six. Ben, take us out of here, brother.
All right. Well, until next week, my friends. Let's like you said, have a great weekend and stay safe.
That's it. And to my son Mark, call me, buddy. I haven't heard from you. Later. We're out.